Yes, indeed. It's time for Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, with you every Wednesday, noon to 1. So I'm so happy that you tuned in and making us a priority. Or listening to us online at kkfi.org. You know, I've got a whole room full of lovely, talented, creative people. Yay! Okay, that was a little weak. I have Merritt Benz, Rick Stacy, Christina Munez, Adam Long, Andrew Ordonez, Andrew Erdick. Soon we'll have Kevin King. I probably killed that last name, didn't I? What? Ay, ay, ay. Vicky Vaudry will be here, and Pete Bakley. What did I say, honey? So, sit back and stay tuned because we've got a full hour of creativity and talk and art and all of that. I want to introduce my first guest, Merritt Benz. She's the owner, director of Bedford Therapy Group. Merritt is a Kansas City native, but calls Brooklyn, New York, her true home. Merritt Benz is a licensed clinical social worker and the owner of the Bedford Therapy Group. She's a certified Daring Way facilitator. Daring Way is a highly experiential methodology based on the research of Dr. Brené Brown and focuses on shame resilience skills and developing daily practices that transform the way we live, love, parent, and lead. We're going to talk about a little bit about the work that she does, but we're really going to focus on creativity. So welcome, my friend Merritt.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So in your work, just tell us a snippet of what you do and how you do it.
So I'm a social worker by training, and I would say a professional conversationalist, guide, fellow journeyman by trade or practice in my daily life. So I'm a therapist and a counselor, but what I enjoy most is the conversations that happen as people lean into what is vulnerable and open, scary, creative in their process of exploration and transformation.
I love that. We were talking in the green room about creativity, and I love that you gave me this wonderful diagram of the art of showing up, doing my work, and so on. It was really beautiful. We're going to start off talking about, first of all, defining creativity. What is creativity?
That's a great question. I think creativity, I would describe as a process. I think often we look at it as maybe a byproduct or something that we seek or that shows up at certain times. But I see creativity as a process where there's a birthplace that happens, where it comes to us and the fore of our lives and experiences, mainly when we lean into what is vulnerable and open in us. And you know, I think the question around who is creative, what is creative, is an interesting question. You mentioned your husband saying, "I don't have a creative bone in my body." And I would say, if you are alive, you are creative.
I think that's true. I do. You know, whether you actually make something of a physical artwork, painting, sculpture, or perform, putting words together, I think, like you said, if you're alive, you're a creative person.
Exactly. Yeah. That it's a process.
Uh-huh. It is a process. And if you... And doing research for this show, I looked up many different definitions of creativity, and there's just so many, and everyone has their own definitions. So are you born with it, or is it something learned?
I would say it's an experience.
Yeah.
Where what we might think of as creative is connected to a product, connected to the, it is only creative when it produces or it looks like this certain thing or item. I think creativity is the space of related to problem solving and imagination, but really the space around curiosity, the relationship between curiosity and even failure, and how that connects to then what happens as that byproduct, I think is where I see creativity in all of us. I don't think anyone is not born with creativity.
Well, and I said that it was kind of a trick question, I guess, because, you know, again, alluding back to the fact that creative has some sort of a visual or tangible presence, you know, in that. But I'm glad that you brought up failure, because I think there's something very creative in failure. There's something really that happens in that time, in that space, that place that rises out of the ashes, out of something that just didn't function, didn't work, was a failure.
Exactly. And Brené Brown has a statement where she says that vulnerability is the birthplace of creativity, of innovation, of new ideas. And when we lean into what is vulnerable, which is uncertainty, risk, emotional exposure, the conversation that happens out of that, and it could go either direction with what we're leaning into. We could have favor and it could all go well and perfectly, or there's the same risk that it's not going to go well. So what happens after that with failure, the process of, do we lean into curiosity and wonder when something doesn't work out, or do we lean into comparison and critique? And that being two different paths or processes that lead to, or I see that birthplace of creativity and innovation. That failure is an imperfect word. The moment we learn from it, it's no longer a failure.
I love, again, looking at the different definitions from Webster's, all sorts of dictionaries and CEOs and all that. It's interesting. One of the ones that I like is creativity is marked by the ability or power to create, to bring into existence, to invest with a new form. You know, there's just so many different ways of looking at it. Yeah, and today we have a whole group, a whole room full of very creative people who are painters, writers, performers, actors, sculptors, writers. I said that. Yeah, so it'd be interesting to get their take on it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, you know, again, going back to this really wonderful little diagram, and your writing's beautiful.
Oh.
Your handwriting's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that there is a love affair between curiosity and resiliency. Failure is inherently an imperfect word, and so on. So in your practice, there has got to be so many different solutions, creative solutions, and in relationship to your clients and all. How do you find new ways? What feeds your creative? What inspires you to sort of look at something a little bit differently and kind of untangle or work through something with a client or individual?
Right. The place that draws me in is wonder. The wonder of someone's experience, the curiosity around what might happen next, what the possibilities might be, what they might be feeling or experiencing, and trying to connect with what they're feeling underneath, where solutions or advice or knowing what to do next, I don't know if that generates the same level of transparency or unique problem solving, where it's not necessarily about an end goal or this is the solution, but there being, what is the process of transformation? What is the process that one goes through in trying to make a shift or a turn in their life and lean into something new or different? And what is vulnerable for me or for other people is different. It's uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. And what's vulnerable for me might be being on the radio. But what's vulnerable for you, that most likely It is, but it isn't, right?
But, you know, as you're talking, my mind is immediately going to an anthropologist, you know, really studying, you know, those connections of what learned behaviors or what you've done as in terms of a culture of your sort of day in and day out routine. I mean, just kind of examining that in a sense and just... Would that be a...
Exactly.
Fairly close.
That everyone owns their own process, and I make no claim to be an expert or have the answers, but being able to be a witness and a companion in that, to ask questions, to sit in wonder or negative emotions or things that are might be seen as failure, with a space of, well, I wonder what could happen. And
possibilities.
What the possibilities might be.
Yeah. If you've just tuned in, this is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm talking to Merritt Benz, owner, director of Bedford Therapy Group. One thing that I do want to read about Merritt is that I love this. Merritt's ideal day is being knee-deep in a spring-fed trout stream, casting flies, hoping for a fish to rise, and celebrating with a cold beer on the river afterwards. I love that. I love that.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful. That's pure joy.
Yeah. Fly fishing is pure joy, in my mind.
For me, I think it would be a little bit of failure, but that's okay. I would stand in the water with you and drink a beer.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that. Do you find... that you need to do that as a break from other things in your daily job? I mean, just sort of getting away as far as you can, doing something differently that that you would do normally.
For fly fishing, for me, is a space where when you're in the river, and it can be an extremely frustrating and, like you said, have a fair amount of failure to it. But the process that's involved of waiting and seeing and noticing what, you know, bugs are hatching on the water, where the fish are, and you begin to feel all of the aspects that are around you. And for me, that's a place of rejuvenation, but also of, again, curiosity and wonder, where I'm a participant in what's going on. And I love it. I've done it since high school.
And it strikes me that, well, you're a Kansas City native, so it's someplace that, are there places here in Kansas City that you would do that?
No, there are not.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because, listen.
It can be. I mean, fishing is fishing, but but the experience of being surrounded by tall mountains and flowing river and crystal streams, and is nice. Colorado is close.
Yeah. Well, and I hate to say this, fishing is lost on me, because I like my fish reconstituted, like square, you know, or like sticks.
Yeah. Well, most of the time it's catch and release. It's all catch and release. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we're kind of getting away from the creative thing, but that's okay too, because I love that, you know, something kind of sparks and then you take it in this direction and that direction. But I love having you come in and talk about creativity, because I think for most of us, we know when something is creative, when we see it or hear it or experience it. And it's something that we can't really kind of tell specifically someone why. It just is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there can be a focus on the product or the result. And I think for a lot of artists, their work in themselves, the work that they produce and the process that they go through themselves are one and the same. It's it's connected, but it's also separate. And there's how someone begins to see something as, you know, worthy of their time, or is creative, or this is my creative piece, or something that's has acclaim or critique, is might be a very different process for them, and how they got there. that there's an element of doing the work, of showing up, of a blank canvas or a blank page. And sometimes inspiration can be that piece that can be the muse. But the other space I see is leaning into what is uncertain, leaning into vulnerability, and then seeing what comes out of it. And then the relationship of what is our relationship with ourself in that talk, in the results or the process in itself.
Yeah. Merritt, do you want to share any information, contact information or Facebook page or anything with our listeners? I don't know if that's...
I mean, you can find it. You can find the Bedford Therapy Group on online, and part of our goal as a group is to create community where counseling or going in for to talk to someone can be a quiet or potentially shaming or embarrassing thing, and our goal is to build community around a common conversation and experience, and so it's a different environment. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot.
Terrific. You know, I'm going to have to see if there's anything that I left out. I'm going to ask you if there's anything that you want to mention before we go to our next guest.
This is a important conversation, I think, for a lot of different people. And whether you see yourself as an artist or all of the different things you do, the process of how you birth or bring forth what is new and innovative is an important conversation for all of us to have.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much,
Merritt. You're welcome.
Come back and see me. We'll talk about something more.
Okay. Sounds great.
Maybe an hour of fly fishing. Okay. Well, thank you so much, my friend. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. This is Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boy. This is 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Full room, creative people, really lovely, talented people. Next up, I have Rick Stacy, who is an artist, writer. He's a producer with credits at DC Comics, Marvel Comics, Charlton Comics, Now Comics, Twilight Zone, Eclipse, Disney, Warner Brothers. There's so much more that you need to know about this man. He also contributes to Wonder Woman Day, which is an annual charity event that supports shelters for abused women and children. He has taught comics and sequential art and storyboarding courses for more than 20 years, because I think I first ran into you at the Art Institute. Hello, Rick Stacy.
Hello. Thank you for my LinkedIn profile, by the way.
Well, you bet. So, you know what? I'm really excited to have you here. Of course, I love all my guests. We met several weeks ago, and you are better than television.
I'm what, dear? What?
You are better than television.
Well, I think so, as a matter of fact, because I'm cheaper than cable, and I'll appear in person here, and it's great. Thank you very much. It's very kind words of you.
Yeah, you bet. From you. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the beginning. You have always been an artist and writer and comic book person.
It began at a very young age for me. Merritt was talking about some of the things that you work through in the way of your creativity. Mine, that I told you last week, came to me the day after my 7th birthday, when I found out that George Reeves, who was Superman on the old Superman TV show, saw the photograph in the newspaper, brought it into Mom and said, Mom, pop the string off the newspaper. And I'd never seen a Superman comic book or anything. And I said, Mom, what is this? And she said, oh, honey, Superman killed himself. And that was devastating to me as a new 7-year-old, because I still had sugar high from the birthday cake the day before. So I went back to my room and with a pencil and paper, and I drew stick figures and just kept drawing these stories. That's the operative word, is story, because it's all storytelling. Until at one point I went into the comic book business. For me, the creativity was a coping mechanism. It became a tool for working through things, number one. Number two, it became a diversion for myself and for others. Because you're in a certain mode or certain way, and I can go on and become that, hey, look over here. Hey, we're going to do this, and this is more fun, and this is entertaining, or there's a story or tale to tell here with funny musings or perhaps some, a moral of some nature. That's what I've done in the, from a lifelong standpoint of contributions to creativity. In addition to being corporate, because you have to have a day job.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
And I did the corporate art director and marketing manager, and coupling those, we'll go for the trifecta. I started teaching at the Westport School of Art, Shawnee Mission School District for the gifted program, which means they brought us gifts. No, they didn't bring us gifts. But, and then for a long period of time at the Kansas City Art Institute, where I had probably the most enriching occupation, working with adults, some of which went into the business, and tweeners who became very involved in this sense of creativity, too. Comic books, cartooning, sequential storytelling.
And you've also done, again, graphic design, marketing, and illustration, illustration work. Also, you have a book talking to
have a book. It's called Funny You Should Ask, Musings in Verse, For Better or Worse, .. Because I love ellipses. I hate to punctuate any other way.
I do, too.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
And the book, it's a series of notes and little musings I wrote over a period of years when I should have been doing something else. And putting those together, they became entertaining. They became a little bit autobiographical, laughable to a certain degree. And had a conversation with the publisher who said, we love this, but we want you to change the following things. And I said, no, I'm going to do this my way, even on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. So I self-published. I did everything, including all the art direction. And, of course, wrote everything and did the business aspects of it. And it was met with modest acclaim, because I'm a very modest person, you know. And as people picked this up, they found it to be entertaining to the extent that they said, are you done writing? And I said, no, I write this stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we like your voice, and why don't you do this as an audiobook? Well, I had so much content, I ended up doing a 2-CD set of everything from silly little stories and little songs. I wrote some songs, played some music, and some morality plays of some nature. Some things aren't very humorous. Some are about depression and working through other issues that we have in life. Therein lies the biographical aspect of this.
I know that I can tell our listeners that you're going to be on for 2 hours here.
Going to be here for 2 hours
on
the radio. Tomorrow night. I'll be joined by some friends that will be working with me. The show is called Talking to Myself to You, and I'll be joined by Jerry McMullen, Julia Jackson, Teresa Zirkel, and Greg McCarty, who will be playing banjo and dobro and anything else that sounds like it rhymes with O. So,
you know, that's going to be fantastic, because I'm going to engineer, so it's going to be on the local showcase tomorrow night, Thursday, May 25th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. here on 90.1 FM KKFI. And I look forward to that, because it's just going
to
be a great evening of music and Rick and fun and humor. And
it's going to be high energy, as a matter of fact, too. So warn your neighbors with what's going to happen around here.
And
fun stuff.
And actually, while you're at the mic, you're going to be drawing, make quick drawings.
You know, I may do that.
I just threw that in.
I think it's good that you did. It's a nervous habit. I do it all the time. So.
Well, it just makes sense. And then you've got someone that's going to do a live feed.
Yes, indeed we are. We're going to have Jacob Eliashar, who is a local media guru, who will be here doing a live Facebook feed. And we should be chronicling this for the ages.
Yes.
Or just for you, as a matter of fact.
That'll work too. Rick Stacy, you are such a Renaissance man, because as I'm looking at my paper,
there's like... When they say this, like, that's all I ever wanted to be is when I grew up. They say, what do you want to be? And I said, Steve Allen, who is the world's greatest Renaissance man.
Yeah.
And my hero in life,
as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that a generation of younger folks will, you know, understand that brilliance of him and Jonathan Winters. And
oh my God, Jonathan Winters, yes, is a big inspiration for me, as he was for another student, Robin Williams, who grabbed all of Jonathan Winters' stuff and honed it and became the star that he did become. Me, I just got a lot of detention for it in high school because I was cracking jokes and cutting up.
You know, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet you did.
Oh my gosh, I was Beck's bad boy. But it was fun. Lots of fun. Yeah, Steve Allen's a big inspiration to me as an author, as a musician, as a comedian. 8,500 songs written in the Guinness Book of World Records. And I was fortunate enough to meet him at the Leeds Center 1 month before he passed away.
I'll be darned.
And see the show and spend some time at the after party with him, which to me is the most fulfilling thing that's ever happened to me. So
I love that. And besides the local showcase, I know that you have so many other projects going on. I think you've got something.
I can't keep track of them, Maria.
Yeah, I know.
And I was looking through my Rolodex today, and I just gave up.
So, Rolodex. Yeah. Yes.
What's that's pretty old school, yeah. Call this person. Call this person.
Well, but it's true. And recently you were at the Comic-Con. Planet Comic-Con here in Kansas.
I've been fortunate to be a guest there since day one. And it's a good opportunity to interact with people who want to draw, want to watch the drawings, mm-hmm. want to get in the business. And gosh, I've seen one, two generations, now three, come by the table and say,
my grandfather knows you, and he said you were a nice fit. Will you draw a Batman for me and not charge me for it? So
we do a lot of fun things at the shows.
And I also want to say, because you have such a beautiful voice, you do some voiceovers?
I do some voice.
Yeah. Give me a voice. Come on, give me a voice.
Chances are, lawyer where I stand. That's Johnny Mathis, but that's not what I do. I just do some voiceover work, some commercial things. And now the news. Big light in sky scares the people on 39th and Main. And do some commercial work. And I do
some silly voices, too, you know. I do one of the songs we're going to do tomorrow night. It's a lovely tale. And I played all the instruments for it, and we have lovely sound effects. And it's called Let's Get Drunk and Fight. And it's a testimony to the Irish side of me, which you can't see right now because I'm sitting down. But we do a lot of funny things like that. We do celebrity voices, and we do just silly stuff. I used to, as we mentioned, when I used to write and draw for Warner Brothers, mm-hmm. I'd sit up in my studio in Shawnee, and my kids were younger, and they'd look and they'd see, he's kind of a strange duck, because I'd be writing,
mm-hmm.
What's up, Doc?
Mm-hmm. Be very, very quiet. Yeah. And do the voices as I write them. So I think there's voices in my head. So maybe I should talk to Merritt sometime about that.
Well, you,
I could
you
use
know
some
what?
Help, probably.
I think, well, every now and then I'll do a goofy voice. But I think for me, it comes from watching so many cartoons. Mel Blanc. I mean, he was the voice of so many different characters.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mel Blanc, the voice that brought us all the Warner Brothers characters, was also a veteran radio actor with his own radio show,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
who not only did sound effects for Jack Benny on his radio show, but was a cast member too. So what
awesome.
A great legacy he had.
But I tell you what, I can hardly listen to any of the cartoon figures nowadays because they just annoy me.
Well, and they're so many on cables and networks and stations, many, many voices that come at you. That's okay.
Yeah.
But for me, the character of Jim Backus doing Mr. Magoo, and I'm going to do that for you right now because I love that character.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, Magoo. You've done it again.
At Christmas time, I do the entire Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol, which my wife has asked me to do it outside because it gets to be maddening after a while.
Oh, Marley. Oh, Lord, Marley.
So, those voices that stay with you.
Do you sing the songs that go with that, with Mr. Magoo's?
You know, I could probably do a Mr. Magoo singing thing. I wouldn't bone up on it first, though. But lately, I've been driving in my car, and at stoplights, people will hear me sing, Kill the Wabbit, Kill the Wabbit. And I'll do that whole, that's opera, Doc, the whole thing with Bugs singing,
Oh, Brunhilde, you're so lovely. Yes, I know it. I can't help it.
Honey, why don't you have your own radio program?
I don't know. I could start tomorrow.
Yes.
As a matter of
tomorrow.
fact.
Tomorrow. On the local showcase. That was a good segue. Local showcase, Thursday, May 25th, 8 to 10 p.m. here on 90.1 FM KKFI. And it's going to be live with music and laughter and poetry and songs.
It's going to be spontaneous and high energy. And you'll be a part of this, too.
Well, because I'll be doing the controls.
You'll be doing
honey,
that. We'll be looking right through that looking glass at you and getting all kinds of silly bits of chicanery.
Oh, Lord. Rick Stacy, for more information for our listeners, if they want to check you out as far as your comics, your writing, whatever.
You can get a hold of me at rick@rickstacy.com. Stacy, Italian spelling, Stasi, and or rickstacy.com will take you to a landing page I have for the book and the CD. But feel free to contact me, email, and we'll see if there's other things that we can do. I really want to do the things that we're doing and branch out.
Yeah.
But I'm also doing live stuff as opposed to dead stuff. I'm doing live stuff like the Uptown Arts Theater. I'm doing Prosperos, and I really enjoy taking some of the appropriate material for a younger audience to Children's Mercy and we'll do children's mercy shows, and we'll read to them and have them give us feedback, and I'll make templates for them and say, okay, this tale of the frog and the fog and the rock and the block, let's go on and take this template and make it a 5-panel comic strip. And the interaction is so much fun for everybody, so rewarding too. I get a kick out of it.
We love you, Rick Stacy.
Oh, I love you back.
And you know what? We're going to tune
in. Look,
I'm
making a little heart thing. Can you see that? If you're viewing at home, you're in trouble because this is radio, but there's a little heart thing.
That doesn't look very heartish to me, but I love you.
I love you back.
Yeah, and we're going to be tune in tomorrow night, 8 to 10, local showcase.
I'll be wearing Versace.
Oh,
why not?
I'll be wearing a smile. Well, with that, thank you so much, honey.
Thank you.
We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. Well, hello, we're back. This is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and you're listening on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We have another group of very creative people in the studio today. We've got Christina Munez, Adam Long, Andrew Ordonez, and Andrew Erdrick. Right?
Yes, that's right.
All right, there you go, Mark Manning. So we're going to talk, first of all, we're going to talk about the drugstores that it's opening its doors in the historic Katz Building for their biannual open studios. And that is located at 39th and Main. I don't have the exact address. Yeah, 3948 Main Street, right across from the KKFI studios, kind of. So we're going to talk about that and who you're going to see and who's going to be involved. And welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, now they go quiet. So we're going to start off with Christina Munez. Hello, my friend.
Hi, Maria. Nice to be back here again.
We love you. And I want to say, while we're talking, congratulations on your KC Studio. You're in the article. You're in an article in the most recent
The May June issue. Yeah.
Yeah, we love that. So congratulations.
Alice Thorson's when I wrote that up. So
we love our Alice Thorson.
Yes.
Hello, Alice Thorson. So let's talk about what you're going to see for that evening at the drugstore, the Open Studios at 3948 Main, that opens May 26, 6 to 9.
Yeah. Well, besides us four, there's more. There's always more. It just gives the time to open the doors to the public so they can come and see what is going on in that building.
Yeah, because I'm sure it's very curious to people who don't know what's going on in that building because it's such a historic
icon. They tend to see people walking in and walking out, but they don't know what it actually is. So, but we have a lot of new residents. I think we got 4 new residents since February. So it's their first time in... Andrew's one of them.
And, good.
So it gets you a chance to meet us and talk about work, ask us questions, enjoy the music, and have a drink or two.
There will be drinks and a live DJ.
Good. Yeah, and the work will be available, but most importantly, well, of course, money is good, but. Folks will have an opportunity to talk with the artist one-on-one, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about that? Do you like to talk about your work? Do you like to share sort of that information with folks?
Absolutely. It's exciting because there's about 25 different members, and everyone's really doing something that's completely different from each other. So it's a good variety. It's a really great diversity. For me, I'm one of the newest members, so I'm one of the ones that replied to the open call last January. And so being in there for, you know, this last 3 months has been kind of, it's been, you know, changing for my work, being in a public space, and definitely kind of, you know, responding a little bit to the community that is within the drugstore.
Well, there's about, 25 resident artists in that space, and so everyone's doing something different. It's a communal collaborative studio space at 3948 Main, and again, the open studio is happening May 26, 6 to 9 p.m., so there's just going to be a big range of art, music, booze, and artists. Yeah, that's a winning combination.
There's going to be an exhibition in the front, which Adam is going to be a part of, and I think he has more information on that.
Yeah, Adam, let's talk about that.
Absolutely. The exhibition is of work I've done over the last about 3 years in downtown Kansas City. There's going to be right slightly over 30 photographs in the main gallery space. And I just collaborated with Archive Collective in producing or publishing a photo book. Mm-hmm. So that'll be available at the exhibition as well.
Now, the book is Incline, Decline?
That's right.
By Adam J. Long. And so that will be available?
Yes. Yeah, we'll have, actually, they're available for pre-sale to be picked up.
Yeah.
But they're also, we'll have a big old stack of them. The edition's of 125, so... Uh-huh.
And it just coincides with this biannual Open Studios. So the 47 photographs, what are they about?
It's all photographs that were taken in the financial district. The project started with me just driving down, doing some government things, and noticed that I parked in an area that was called the financial district. And my personal finances, as many, are abysmal. So mm-hmm. it seemed like a great mm-hmm. place to see... if there's something there that could speak into that. And I met mm-hmm. a lot of interesting people, pairing that with ephemera from around that financial district that kind of talks about the brokenness of the situation that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and as part of this write-up, I'm reading that the decline weaves together photographs of parking meters, payphones, iconic city slogans or ironic city slogans, portraits, cityscapes, and the everyday. So it, yeah.
There's a lot of exploration in this work. Mm-hmm. As we talked about creativity and really imagination and finding things, mm-hmm. That's my process. Is I walk around, I talk to people, I find things. So there's a lot of happenstance. So this project again is about 3 years in the making. Every Friday I go down to the same kind of area and just explore, and it's pretty mesmerizing what you can find
can
when you're
imagine.
Not looking for anything.
Yeah. And your website, if you want to share that, or any sort of media.
Absolutely.
Social media.
I'm at adamjlong.com. A variety of my projects can be found on there. The book is available through archivecollective.org. And again, they're the ones who helped me publish the book. And they were awarded a grant, an inspiration grant through ArtsKC about a year ago with the intention of creating a photo book, and then the proceeds from that photo book will then create the next one and so on and so on.
Terrific. And how about you, Andrew Erdrich?
How about me?
How about you, my friend? So what projects do you have going on besides the open...
I have some drawings, and I've been doing a lot of deep kind of archival of personal work, just uh-huh. taking notepads and stuff that I've been working with over the last 10 years and kind of going through and codifying that in a way, just sort of organizing uh-huh. things, compartmentalizing things into different categories. And a lot of stuff that I've been doing lately has also been very written-based, so there's not actually going to be a lot of visual stuff either. But again, being there, you have the opportunity to have conversations, and a lot of the work I also do in the space is involved with the space itself, mm-hmm. such as building the new studio spaces for new residents, helping to kind of organize that process.
But as part of that writing, and I want to understand, is it writing at in terms of like spoken word or your thoughts, or is it writing in terms of something visually that you'll see on the notepads?
Some of it is visual, mm. But some of it is just, say, journalistic and isn't really meant to be seen by anybody.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's stuff that's like, well, I have poetry that's like in the works, but mm-hmm. it's not really like mm-hmm. going to be seen. Christina has some paintings that are going to be at an exhibition coming up, but she's not going to be showing those.
Exactly.
When is your exhibition coming up?
First solo show here in KC. It's going to be at the Kiosk Gallery mm-hmm. on East 5th Street. But yeah, those works will not be able to be viewed in uh-huh. open studio. I have to put them away, but I have plenty going on.
Yeah, you
outside
do have
of that,
paper pieces.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been really blessed to have a lot of patrons here.
Yeah.
I try to get different price ranges so that I can. My thought process on that is like, I want those that love the work to be able to afford it. So
yeah. Yeah.
Come talk to me, and if you really love something, we'll talk.
Yeah,
so,
I like that.
But
I mean,
I have plenty of drawings on paper going on. I also have been writing recording stories for my parents, I visit them from childhood, and or my own stories that I've heard while growing up. So a lot of these are just, they spring off while listening to them in my headset. Mm-hmm. I'll draw just something really quick. And so it's just it's really for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
These may end up being larger works or actually fit, you know, physical works on paper. But for now, they're just in my private book that I do. But
stay tuned, huh?
Yeah. A lot going on. A lot going on.
ChristinaMuñez.com is your website?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can email me at Christina@ChristinaMuñez.com.
And Adam, what's happening in... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Andrew. Sorry.
Yeah.
The other Andrew.
well, for me, this is one of the first times in the last few years that I've been in the public space. So I was really interested in kind of letting viewers know what I've really been up to the last few years, this last week, and really kind of displaying a range of activities that are happening in my practice. So, you know, a couple of large-scale, you know, digital paintings, physical paintings. I had the opportunity to show at the Kiosk Gallery, like Christina, last summer. So kind of inspired by that exhibition, kind of seeing where the work is transforming from making those scans, those drawings. And really kind of, you know, allowing that to be within the public space.
Beautiful. So all four of you, Christina Muñez, Adam Long, Andrew Ordonez, and Andrew Erdrich will be at the drugstore, Open Studio, 3948 Main Street, so you can talk to them in depth about their work and what you've heard here on ArtSpeak Radio. That opens May 26th, 6 to 9 p.m., 3948 Main Street, the drugstore, Open Studio. I want to say thank you to all of you for being here. I know it's very short, but you guys can come back, and we'll talk some more, I promise.
We always appreciate the invite.
You bet.
Like to say that we have plenty of parking.
You do.
Let that deter you.
Terrific.
So,
hope
to see you there.
Free parking.
All right. Well, thanks so much, guys.
Right by bus line.
We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. This is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and thank you so much for tuning in. Next up, we have a trio. We have a trio of very important, creative, lovely, wonderful people. We've got Kevin King. We've got Vicky Vaudry. We've got Pete Bakley. All here. Vaudry.
Either.
Vicky sitting near the mic. Okay, that's all you need to know. Welcome, my friends. You guys have a terrific project going on. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's called Pastiche, and it's going to be a one-night-only thing that happens May 26th at 8 p.m. at the Buffalo Room. And what it is my production company, Wim Productions, went out to 10 different playwrights and said, hey, we're going to go through and write a play, and all of us are going to write one play. So how we did it is I started out, and this is Kevin King, I started out writing, I wrote 7 to 10 pages of the play, then I handed it on to one playwright. She wrote about 7 to 10 pages, picking up right where I left off, and then she wrote another segment, and it just kind of passed on, and we just, it turned out to be one cohesive play as if it was written by one playwright.
It's like Exquisite Corpse, but only with words, right?
Yes, exactly.
I love that idea.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't necessarily familiar with the phrase Exquisite Corpse, mm-hmm. and actually I hadn't been until after I started this project. So an Exquisite Corpse is it was a parlor game that originated in the, I think, 1920s in France, and there's two different versions of it. One that is with words, one that is with pictures.
Mm-hmm.
If it's pictures, what you'll do is you can take a paper and fold it into like four different sections, and one person will draw like the top part of someone's head or something, and then they'll fold that over so that the person can't see it and hand it over to somebody, to the next person. They'll do that and then fold it over, and it just kind of continues that way. And at the end, you end up with a really surreal picture. We did something similar here with words.
So I was going to say, is that true with what the end result was, and how did you feel about that?
Well, I've been directing it, and I actually, during the course of the process, was the only person who saw it as it was being written. And it was fascinating to see this. But, I mean, I was going to ask Vicky, because she was in there. Vicky came in fourth after I had written my section. And what it was like, you know, all they got the entire script up to that point, but didn't know where it was going, and were just and were given the controls. So how was that experience for you?
I think I can honestly say this is probably the most interesting writing experience I've ever had. And I mean that sincerely. You know, I've only done my own shows, you know, you know, short plays, long plays, whatever. But seeing that progress and not knowing where you're going to get the handoff, you know, kind of like the Pony Express, you know, type thing, or the baton.
Yeah.
I came in after Pete, and I thought, wow. It took me completely out of anything I'd ever written before. I do a lot of family dysfunction, a lot of family comedy drama. This was a little different, and it was a challenge, and I really appreciate the chance to be involved in it.
Now, is it going to be a challenge for the cast that performs it, too? Because,
I'm working with them right now. And in many ways it is. But we have an exceptional cast.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Brianna Marshall McCollum, Stefan Singleton, Kyle Wallen.
Isabel Tate. Davis DeRock.
Davis DeRock, oh yes. And
did you mention Kelly?
Nicole Miller and
Kelly.
Oh, Kelly, Ivy Bowie.
Yeah.
And tremendous people, which is part of the reason, one of the reasons this came about is that Kansas City is such a creative hotbed right now that we have all these actors who are aching to do stuff, and all these writers who are aching to have stuff done, we've been getting together. And this was a wonderful challenge. Having gone through it, I can tell you the best thing about it is that in many ways it's completely nuts, but it is one cohesive show.
I love that whole idea. Yeah. Kevin King, Vicky Vaudrey, Pete Bakley, you're going to premiere this Friday, May 26, 8 to 10, at the Buffalo Room, Westport Flea Market, Bar and Grill at 817 Westport Road. For more information, do you have a website that people might want to
find definitely more details? For more information, they can go to whimproductions.com. Mm-hmm. That's WHIM. And can I give the ticket site?
Yes, you can. You just can't give ticket prices.
Perfect. That is, it's Pastiche, pastiche.eventbrite.com. And that's Brite, Eventbrite, and you can purchase tickets there.
Well, based on your experience on this, is it something that you might think about doing again?
Yes. Yeah. That's definitely in the plans, and there's a couple different ways that we can kind of switch this up a little bit too with the process. But this play turned out really great. It takes place in a subway with three people waiting on a train, and then it really goes in some very interesting directions after that. It really goes in ways that none of us could have predicted. It's definitely a very enjoyable and fun play.
I imagine it would be challenging, but it could be, you know, a great opportunity just to really just kind of think outside of, you know, what you would normally write.
It's being done by people who know that they can be challenged and like the challenge.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at in Kansas City right now.
I love that. As far as the tickets go, is it first come, first serve, or is it receding? Because I know that the Buffalo Room there and in the Westport Flea Market, it's a great venue, but I didn't know if there was a reserved seatings that you want.
For this particular show, it's just first come, first serve.
Uh-huh.
The doors do open at 7 p.m., and we definitely encourage people to get there early. You know, typically for an 8 p.m. show, at most venues, door opens at like 7:30. Buffalo Room is different in that because they're attached to the Westport Flea Market, there's a full menu and a full bar there.
So we
definitely encourage people to get there early so that they can turn this into a full dinner theater experience, make sure that they have their food ordered so it's there during the show.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Again, give us the website.
WhimProductions.com. And then for tickets, they can go to pastiche.eventbrite.com.
And there's also an event on Facebook.
Yes, there is.
If you're on Facebook, you can
absolutely
look that up. So, yeah, we look forward to this and to a second and a third production, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a fourth, fifth, sixth.
Sure.
So on and so on. Very good. Thank you so much, Kevin King, Vicky Vaudry, Pete Bakley. Thank you so much for coming in today, and good luck. Break a leg, something like that.
Both work. Thank you so much.
You bet. Okay, that concludes another episode of Arts Speak Radio. So I want to thank my guests, Merritt Benz, Rick Stacy, Christina Munez, Adam Long, Adric, Kevin King, Vicky Vaudry, and Pete Bakley. Next week is the end of May. The end of May, we have Deborah Jones, Sherry Hall, Mauricio Miranda, Jessica Boydson. They're going to join us on air on ArtSpeak Radio. Stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz Afternoon. And after that, we've got that Groovy Grant at 3 o'clock. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you all for listening online. We'll see you next week. Honey, I'm coming home.